हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So Bhaktisandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarna 3, Bhakti alone is the conclusion of all the scriptures. Okay. We're on page 96, but Charuji, can you say where we are?
Yeah, you finished reading 11, 28 through 9, and you just read the one sentence, thus the qualification for bhakti is different from the qualification for jnana and karma.
Okay. Yeah, so we're seeing here is that aspect of qualification means what you have faith in. That's the actual qualification. Well, you have the faith in, and of course, what you have the ability to do. You know, but the point is, since bhakti is inherent in every living entity, in every jiva, then therefore, every living entity can be qualified for bhakti, but they have to have the faith. So when the jiva has the faith, then they're qualified. But like for jnana or karma, means you may have the faith in it, but you also have to have that conditioned ability, you know, for the intellectual analysis or for the detachment or these kind of aspects. But the point is what's happening is it's the development of faith from karma. Then you see that's not so. It gives temporary result. You want a longer or one's own mind an eternal result. Because even in karma, the jiva wants an eternal result, but one doesn't get it. So it takes a long time for the jiva to start to notice that even though I want an eternal result in karma, I'm not getting it. So then where do I find this eternal result? So then one turns to jnana, because then that promises liberation or a seeming eternal result. But then after a time of that, then you see how difficult that is. And it doesn't actually, it's dry. It doesn't give satisfaction to the soul proper. Therefore, then, by the association of the devotees, and one understands that the faith in bhakti is the only thing, because it's the original thing. Whatever we see here is karma and jnana, that's the perverted reflection of bhakti that's in the spiritual world. And so then understanding this, then one deals with the complete process, right? So that complete aspect is there, and that now you're dealing with Satchit and Ananda. Before that, then you're not dealing with all that. And so you can only get some aspect of sat, some aspect of chit, but you're not getting anything complete. But when you add Bhagavan into it with bhakti, then sat, chit, and ananda, then they are complete for the soul. Because now you're connected with the complete whole. That way, then we take on that quality of completeness, right? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues here. One should sing most auspicious topics concerning my stealing yogurt, milk, women, as well as the song of the flute and the rasa dance. One should remember repeatedly those songs, and this will become spontaneous. One should enact my exploits like taming Kaliya and my birth with the celebration performed by Nanda. The word cha indicates one should sing and remember the activities and birth as well as an act of Sardartha Darshan 11, 11, 23, 24. So we see is that, you know, Prabhupada had introduced that, you know, especially the devotees, then they would do dramas. And it was very popular depending where it was. Some of the temples then every on Sunday when they had the Sunday program, then there'd be a drama. You know, it'd be something short, something that they could put together in a week and let, you know, and there's some that are reoccurring. So it was something that was regularly done. And then we see in the Janma Titi Vidhi of Rupa Goswami, then on Janmastami, then one has does the samskars for Krishna, because he's born and then you do all the samskars. So you do the samskars from birth up to Upanayanam. And then Nanda Baba's there and all that, you know. So that's the whole thing. Perform and the celebration performed by Nanda, right? So that you have that. And you have also the thing of the Janmashtami, meaning then the Abhishek, the nice bhog offering, distributing prasad, you know, the kirtan and the festivities where everybody's very happy at Krishna's appearance. And so all these things, then, if that's being done on a regular basis, regularly, then it says it will become spontaneous. So Krishna is then pointing out these points, how he steals yogurt, milk, the ladies, you know, the cowherd girls, as well as the song of the flute, the rasa dance, all these things then bring out something. Yes, sir.
Sorry, it's a side point, just came up because devotees asked me for adults, for example, those who never went through the samskaras, and say people like my age, would it be beneficial to do the samskaras like now?
I mean, they can be, but generally you connect them with something else. You connect them with the second initiation or something, or, you know, first like this. Does that make some sense? You could do, someone wants to do like that, yeah. But you have to understand is the Upanayanam can only, that samskara means one's already gotten by getting the second initiation. So if you don't have second initiation, then an adult can't do that one. Does that make sense? So you could do the other ones, but you just go through, sit there and just do the mantras. You don't go through necessarily all the ritual. You just sit there with the fire and chant the mantras and go through.
Mm-hmm. It could be done.
Yeah, it could be done. Yeah, I mean, okay. The point is, it's because we're chanting and, you know, we're going through the pancharatric process. That's the main purification. That'll be the most powerful. But now I would recommend that, yeah, someone does that if they themselves are living a very like regulated and set the kind of lifestyle, you know, very kind of lifestyle that, you know, the house clean, keep everything nice, tidy, you know, regularly chanting, doing these things. So, you know, has much more of that nice brahminical ashram kind of aspect to it. Then I would say that, you know, there would be some, you know, you would get the most, you would actually experience some benefits. But if they're not, they're very irregular, they don't really have faith in the Vedic kind of thing, oh, we're devotees, we just chant, then I would say it's better they don't do, because then for them, they're just doing it because they get purified, and it's not for the actual benefits that are there, and that they have faith in the culture. So, in other words, someone who has faith in the Vedic culture, they themselves are practicing how much they can. If they do those samskaras, it has some benefit. But if it's just one of those things, well, we could do that, and then we could worship, you know, Kartikeya, and then we could go and do this, you know, Kali Puja, and then I would say better they don't. Because then it's just a trip. It's like getting a tattoo or something, you know.
Yeah, thank you. I understand. Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah. You know, because it's real. They're real. And so then it should be respected. So someone who respects the Vedic culture, if they do it, and, you know, especially they have second initiation, then yes, it has some meaning. But otherwise, if not, then just that they would attend on Janmashtami, that program where they do all the samskars for Krishna, I'm sure that they would get nicely purified just by that. You know, so that's another way to go about it. And just you watch Krishna getting, just like if you see the Abhishek being done, you know, you get the benefit of having done, or like the Mangal Arti. You see the Arti done, you get the benefit of having offered Arti. You don't have to offer Arti. This idea that, no, I have to go up there and I have to touch the deities, then only I get benefit, that's not actually the pancharatric system. The system is the pujaris, it's their duty, they do it, they are trained in it, they know how to do it. Right? You know, otherwise, why not? Why doesn't everybody come forward and cook on Janmashtami? They don't know how to cook, never cooked in their life, but hey, come forward and cook, you know, because, you know, you only get the mercy if you cook, right? You know, if you do it yourself, you know. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem, is that one has to be very careful that one understands this, the process is there, made. in such a way that everyone gets benefit by seeing. So if someone's worried about that and thinks it's nice, then, you know, this, the next Janmashtami, then sit in on that program. It's there. It's public. Everybody can come, you know, not necessarily many come, but they could come and then they could get all that benefit. And, you know, and if there's someone who regularly does all these kind of, sadhana and stuff like that, and if they're doing some program and besides that, they also then do something for themselves, then it would match. But I'd say for the general devotees that are worried about that, go sit and watch the
We lost you, Maharaj. We can't hear
Hello.
You.
Yeah, somebody. Now that, yeah, somebody tried to call.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't realize that it takes up internet while the other's going on. So.
Okay.
Does that sound all right?
Yeah. Thank you. It's perfect.
You know, so it's a nice thing. And that way they can take the whole family and sit there and everybody gets the benefit. You know?
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, so then it's nice. So that's the idea. The more then one's hearing, chanting, remembering all these different things, then the more benefit. And if that's done regularly, then as it says here, then it becomes spontaneous. Right? Like that. Then Jiva Goswami continues. The commentary says, quote, this verse speaks of pure bhakti by a person purified to the level of Vishuddha Sattva by offering actions to the Lord, end quote. Then he makes the point. One should personally imitate pastimes with devotees having one's particular devotional bhava among the pastimes of the Lord's birth and activities, and have others enact pastimes of the Lord and pastimes of other types of devotees. One should perform acts of dharma, like giving cows in charity for me as part of Janmashtami festival. One should perform acts of kama, like building huge places on my behalf. One can make temples, right? So here is that one has desire, right? So then this is the way to use it is build, you know, these nice arrangements and palaces and these kind of things like that for the Lord. Because you have dharma, right? From dharma, you get artha. And on artha, you're going to use it for kama. So then instead of using it for our own, one engages that aspect of kama that you would use it for facilities of that and do something nice for Krishna. Right? One can make temples. One can perform acts of artha, such as collecting money, using it for the Lord's service. In this way, one should serve acharan. Having no other shelter, mad apasrayaha, one attains bhakti by hearing the Lord's topics. Bhakti, which is fixed in three phases of time, nishchalam. Right? Because bhakti is not affected by time. You know, past, present, future, it's eternal, it's always going on. So it's not that, you know, it wasn't there and then it's going on, then it will be or won't be and things like that. No, once it has that faith, one takes it up, then you are involved then in that eternal platform because bhakti is always there, it's eternal. Since one has no interest in impersonal liberation because of the happiness of bhakti, one should not think that bhakti is temporary. The Lord, who is the object of worship, is permanent, sanatane. Right? So it speaks of pure bhakti by a person purified to the level of Vishuddha Sattva by offering actions to the Lord. Right? So they've come to that level, and so they're on that level. They're going to act on that level. But you want to get to that level, so you do the things that they do. Right? You may not be as good at it. Just like, let's say, you appreciate someone doing something. You know, like to say, dressing the deities or that. And so you want to do that. So then you start learning how to do that. You know, how the crown, how you put the turbans, how ornaments, how cloth. It's not necessarily you're good at it, but you're trying to get to there. It's not that, oh no, only when you're perfect at dressing, then you start dressing. No, that's why it's called sadhana. Sadhana bhakti means you want to develop pure bhakti. But you don't have it, but you're practicing it by doing the activities and trying to cultivate the mentality that those that are on that platform have. So then that means that whatever your position, you take from there and you connect that to Krishna. Then it works very, very nicely. Yes? No? Okay. Riti. Next, the cause and manifestation of pure bhakti is described. Pure bhakti becomes steady in the heart of a person who associates with the Lord's devotees. By worshiping the Lord with a taste of bhakti, attained through the association of pure devotees, he easily attains Sarup Jnana of the Lord as Brahman and Bhagavan. Anucheta 73-74. Quote, how does the inclination for the path of bhakti become steady? So this is the question. The cause is explained. Satsanga labhaya bhaktya mai mam sa upasita savai me darshitam sadpir anjasa vindate padam. One who has obtained pure devotional service by association with my devotees always worships me. Thus he easily attains my sarup, which is revealed by my devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.25. Right, so then is you pure devotional service by association of devotees. So you see the association is actually the key here. It's the most important element. So that is the whole point. Like you see, that Prabhupada's point was that you're trying to create the international society for Krishna consciousness. You know, Bengali, Antarjata Krishna Pavanamrita Sangha. So when you say society, it means Sangha. So that aspect of Sangha, that's the actual important thing, is being able to associate with the great devotees. And then by associating with them, then one naturally develops that pure bhakti. Right. So, Jiva Goswami continues. The devotee, Saha, worships me with a taste for bhakti, bhaktya, attained through association. Easily, he attains all sarupa jnana of the Lord as Brahman and Bhagavan, padam. Anjasa means, quote unquote, as a byproduct of bhakti. Padam means sarupam. The Lord spoke thus. Right? So, you know, Lord's lotus feet is formed. So Brahman and Bhagavan, then you understand how these connect together. How the Brahman means the transcendental platform itself and its difference from the material platform, which just means that one's knowledge is covered by ignorance. And so one cannot appreciate and understand the transcendental platform. And then the Brahman is then the effulgence of the wonderful qualities of Krishna. And so those wonderful qualities of Krishna, then everything else is manifested from there. So that's why you see as before is when they're starting, when you're starting with that aspect of the Virat Rupa, appreciating how everything's connected to the Lord, how it's all like this, you're still appreciating, what are you appreciating in this Virat Rupa is the qualities of Krishna, the different opulences of Krishna, all these different aspects, you're seeing how that's there. So you're starting to appreciate, but you're appreciating it from the form of this and that, and, you know, just as Shakti, as these elements, but in this generic or in its platform of Brahman. He's the strength of the strong. So that's Brahman, because it's not specific. You apply it to a specific person, then it becomes personal on that level. But the weakness of this is you're applying it to a person, to a mountain, to this. So you're taking the generic and applying it in a personal way to a specific thing, but you're not necessarily taking it back to Bhagavan, the person. It's his, the effulgence of his qualities that's pervading everything, that makes everything so wonderful. So then that becomes the aspect is you're trying. That's why then at one point it's given up. Because then you have to start seeing it. No, but then he's in control of these. The person is in control. That these are controlled. They're not just existing, right? Because that's the Brahman platform. They exist. The strength of the strong, that strength is existing. And it's existing in those who have the form of strength, you know, that they're strong. So you can see and manifest that strength. So you're just talking about the existence of it and the eternal principle of it. I mean, you understand it's connected with Brahman, so it has that eternal feature. So you're connecting and you're trying to connect it to personal elements that, okay, he's a person, he's strong, but that strength comes from Brahman. So that aspect of Brahman as strength is personally manifest. It has its, you know, generic as all strong people, but it has that personal aspect. So you're getting used to that concept that Brahman is actually the effulgence of the personal. It's the impersonal in that it's generic, but it's the effulgence of the person. But then it's to say, you know, one should take up the direct aspect of bhakti is where you see, no, it's about the Lord himself and doing everything for the Lord. So you're not just appreciating these potencies. Then you actually start some direct service. So you take the activities that you're performing, give the results to Krishna. You're thinking about Krishna. You're trying to become detached from the material world and attached to Krishna. So you're going through these processes, but with that aspect of bhakti, then they take on their glories. Then when you come to this platform of pure bhakti, then it's not impeded by any mix of karma or jnana because one has no interest other than pleasing Krishna. You may use the mediums or like the vessel of karma and jnana as secondary attributes to support the expression of the primary of the pure bhakti. But the point is it switches. It's not because it's your conditioning or your like that. It's that this is what facilities are there because circumstance, time, place, circumstance, circumstance means ourselves. So we have a nature, we can do a certain service, then that is circumstance. So therefore, I want to express my love for Krishna. Therefore, in this place and in this time, then myself as circumstance, then I can do this service to express that love for Krishna. Right? Because so it takes on that quality. It switches to I am this nature. I have this conditioning. I can do these service. So I search out those situations and create those situations and that I can perform those activities connected with my conditioning. Well, then, you know, but then if it's, you know, there's obstacles and, you know, I can work with that, you know, or I might become frustrated, you know, due to being, excuse me. I may become frustrated because, you know, oh, it's getting in the way of my devotional service and this and that. But we're basing the devotional service on our conditioning and therefore creating the thing for it, which is perfectly natural. That's nice. But the point is then it comes to the point of, well, what is available? So therefore, as things adjust, you just adjust with it. You're going to perform your service. It's just like, let us say we are at home, right? And we want to eat, right? The principle is eating. You know, we'll go in the kitchen, see if there's anything left over, anything sitting, hanging around like this and that, and then, you know, pick it up and, you know, go sit somewhere and eat. But now let's say if the family's having dinner. You don't just go in there, grab something, go sit down. No, you come to the table, you sit together, everyone sits. You know, does the prayers and, you know, you have the proper conversations and all that, but you're eating. Now, let's say you go to somebody else's place, then you're going to adjust and eat there. Or let's say you're traveling to Calcutta or something, you know, and in the car you have your, you know, whatever it is that you brought, your little tiffin. And so while you're driving down the road, you're eating or something like that, you know, and then if you're in Calcutta, then you pick up something there and you eat there. Or if you're traveling on the train, you're going to. So the point is you're going to eat. And so it's not that, oh no, you know, like this, we're in the car, so much trouble, you know, why do I have to eat? You know, I'm not eating. You know, no, eating's going to happen. You want to eat. So therefore you adjust with every situation. It doesn't matter. So that's the same way is that on that platform of pure bhakti, it's just whatever is the situation, you're going to serve according to your proclivity. And so therefore, then in that, you're going to find ways to do it in that. And if it's not, then you're just going to, you know, remember Krishna if it's not available. Does that make sense? So it slightly changes. But the point is you're bringing it up to that because it's about Krishna and you want to please him as a person. Therefore, whatever you're doing, you are connecting to him. You know, well, it says whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in charity, everything should be done for Krishna. So you're just seeing everything as opportunities, any situation, you're going to serve Krishna, whatever it is. If there's nothing else happening, you can just chant. You know, and if you can't do a whole scene, you can chant quietly. You know, so then that is the point, is you're trying to get it to that personal where you're always absorbed in the Lord. And so that's why it says you can see the Lord is Brahman and Bhagavan. You see all, it's all him. It's all the person. It may be the impersonal feature of the person, but it's not separate on its own that has its own existence. That's incomplete. It's not actual proper. So you see the Swarup. So the Swarup Jnana means you know the Lord's form and how his Shaktis expand from his form and how everything goes on and how everything is manifest. That's Swarup Jnana and how the Lord is manifest in his pastimes. That's why then the his appearance pastimes are important, because that's you're seeing the aspect of his Swarup. You know, what's his nature? How does he deal? His affection for the devotees, all these different things come up. Yes? No? Yeah? Okay. Riti. Next, the author presents the teachings of Lord Krishna to Uddhava from the 14th chapter of the 11th canto. Or the 14th chapter of 11th canto. Yeah, it works also. To establish that bhakti is the only process to attain the Lord. In the next Anucheda, Uddhava presents his query to Krishna as to which sadhana process is the best to attain him. Anucheda 75. Later, it will be explained that bhakti is eternal, directly established by the Lord, and thus is the principal means. Other paths are temporary, produced by various persons according to their inclinations, and are thus all useless. Uddhava says, O Krishna, the learned sages recommend various excellent sadhanas perfecting one's life. Among them are some superior. Is one among them the best? O Lord, you have explained the process of unalloyed bhakti, by which a devotee removes all material association from his life and is able to fix his mind on you. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.1.2. The commentary says, there are many sadhanas for attaining the highest good. Are there principal ones or a chief one? The reason he asks about a chief one is because the Lord has explained bhakti. Oh, I see that up to that question mark is actually, oh no, it's the whole thing. The reason he asks about a chief one is because the Lord has explained bhakti. Bhakti yoga is without motive, anapekshitaha. You spoke about bhakti. Others speak of other processes. Among these, which is the chief for attaining the result, the cause of all the others? Or is there equal result by any one of them, or is there some difference? Right? So you have so many processes explained. So one of them, is it the chief and it's the source of all other processes? Or are all of them, or all of them give the same result? Or is there some difference in what results they get? So he's trying to understand, because Krishna has explained all these processes and bhakti. Right. Riti. In the next few Anuchedas, Lord Krishna answers the question posed by Uddhava about the best process to attain the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna begins his explanation by describing that bhakti is the only eternal process, because it arises from the Lord's Swarup and is spoken to Brahma at the beginning of creation. All other processes are temporary and were invented by sages according to their individual natures. Right? So it arises from Krishna's Swarup. So Krishna's Swarup, that means him as Bhagavan. So that means bhakti is arising from Bhagavan. Right? And so that's why it's the superior process. So you can use all these other processes to deal with karma, jnana, the paramatma, Brahman, these aspects, but actually all them are expanding from Krishna's Swarup. So actually it's only bhakti that's the real thing. Everything else has been brought out by the sages. Vyasadeva gave instruction to all these great personalities, and then they have put together these things to inspire people to do part of a path. You know, it'd be like you want somebody to, like, let's say you have the animal, you want to go in the barn. So then you put some food down in front of it and then put some in front of that, in front of that. So it just follow all like that until they get to the barn. The actual point is to get to the barn. So if you're just intent on going to the barn, you don't have to worry about all those things in between because you'll walk to the barn anyway. So it's not that, no, you have to stop every 2 meters and eat something. That's how you get to the barn. No, you can just walk straight to the barn. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anucheta 76. Then the Lord says, Kalena nashta pralaye vaniyam veda samgita. Mayadao brahmane prokta dharamo yasyam maratmanaha. By the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke to Brahma, the Vedic knowledge in which one thinks of me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.3. Udriki, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. O Uddhava, all philosophies arise from the Vedas alone. But the purport of the Vedas is Bhakti Yoga. This Dharma arises from my Sarup, Mad Atmakaha. Since bhakti is the essence of the Hladini Shakti. Right, because as Krishna's happiness is there as the Hladini, it's his pleasure potency, but the essence of that is bhakti, because when bhakti is expressed, that's where the ananda or the Krishna's happiness is taking place. Mad Atmakaha can also mean, quote, the process in which the mind concentrates on me, end quote. And so this refers to bhakti, since by bhakti alone one becomes absorbed in the Lord, right? Because otherwise you may think of the Lord as part of a sadhana and things like that, but where you become absorbed is because of devotion to the Lord. That devotion is there, then you become absorbed. You know, whatever you're committed to, that's what you think about. I say, bhaktyaham ekaya grahya, grahyaha. I am realized only by bhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. This means, quote, I can be attained by the senses only by bhakti and by no other method. Other processes mentioned by the sages are not actually the best because they do not produce attainment of me. What is the use of asking about the principle or chief means amongst them? Sardarta Darshani 11.14.3, right? So he's making that point, is that the why ask what's the chief amongst these, because bhakti has already been explained. So it's already been explained what's the chief. So why it's not important to ask which is the chief, since it's already been explained. Because the others are taking you to a certain level, like Jaimini will take you from earth up to the heavenly planets. You know, and give some idea that, you know, because we're not the body with the soul. So therefore, then you don't have to worry. The soul will go to the heavenly planet and get a body there. And then one can enjoy the results of one's endeavors. You know, like that. Then we see other sages take one up to the platform of Brahman. You know, and they may do that through, you know, all these things. They may do it through yajna, through charity, austerity. You know, whatever different kind of vratas. Study of shastras, all these different things they're using to enact aspects or to attain to results of karma and jnana. So the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha will be obtained through these. But that's the problem. It doesn't attain bhakti. Only when they're connected to bhakti through the, you know, as primary, that they as secondary assist bhakti, then they start becoming useful to cultivate bhakti. But it's the bhakti alone gained from the association of the pure devotees that is going to cause that to happen. It won't happen otherwise. It's not by one's own analysis and that one will come to that stage. No, one has to, it's by the Lord's grace. So if you please him by serving the devotees and taking advantage of the association of the devotees, then you see Krishna reveals all these things. He reveals himself, his sarup, right? Because bhakti is the essence of the Hladini Shakti, that gives them happiness, and that is arising from its sarup. So therefore, then one understands him, the person. Okay. Yeah. The commentary says, quote, Bhakti is the chief means since it gives the greatest result. The other processes were invented according to individual natures by persons desiring results like swarga, which are like flowers in the sky and give trifling results. In order to understand this, the Lord describes many processes according to different natures in 7 verses. I described to Brahma a process by which the consciousness thinks of me, Mad Atma Kaha. End quote. Jiva Goswami then says, or I spoke the process arising from my Sarup, Mad Atma Kaha, Bhakti. It is the conclusion of all the scriptures, right? So they're just taking it to there. So making that is complete, no. So that's what's the imaginary aspect. You know, it's like flowers in the sky. You won't get it. It won't do anything for the soul. But it inspires people to at least follow the Vedic path. Otherwise, if not, they will just engage in nonsense and sinful activities and just, you know, end up as a rock somewhere, you know. So that's why then, you know, you have to try to elevate. So Krishna has given them the process yajna. They want to function separate from him, but it's through yajna only that it'll work. You still have to perform the external, you have to perform the activities and that favorable for bhakti, you know, but without bhakti, I mean, without the concept of pleasing the Lord in pure devotion, then these take on the form of piety. So now it's by doing that and being frustrated, why you're not getting the result, or I'm not satisfied with this, and you've done the whole gamut. So what's the thing? What's the real thing? Then Krishna will send the devotees. So whenever it is that you want to know what's actually going on, Krishna sends the devotees. Then by association with them, we hear what is the real thing. Then you take up the process in its natural form. So in other words, all these others aren't, it's not that there's this whole list of items. You know, like I think it's Prahlad Maharaj mentions, I think 12 or 18 forms of religion. And then I think in another place, it gives Krishna, I think, in talking with Uddhava, maybe what we're getting into now. And so then it's also listing all the aspects of religion. But the point is, the Sad-Dharma is the actual one, the real one. It includes those other activities where they're favorable. Right? Someone only does, like Karna only gives in charity, but he doesn't associate with devotees. So what's the point? He means he's very pious, but the point is, you know, it's still temporary. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. Riti. Next, the Supreme Lord declares to Uddhava that he is only attained by pure bhakti and not by austerities, Vedic study, following Dharma, mystic yoga, etc. Because all the other processes can't purify one's consciousness completely if they are bereft of pure devotion to the Lord. In other words, if you're using them in the idea of pleasing Krishna and pure devotion, then they can help. They're like a vehicle for this purification. To the degree one's consciousness is purified by engaging in the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, to that degree, one can perceive his real form, qualities, and sweet pastimes. Anucheda 77 to 80. He explains the cause of various propositions about the ultimate good, right? So he's explaining now why these different processes are coming up. Where did they come from? Manmaya mohita diyaha purushaf purushar shabaha shreyo varan yane kantam yata karma yata ruchi. O best among men, the intelligence of human beings is bewildered by my illusory potency. And thus, according to their own activities and whims, they speak in innumerable ways about what is actually good for people. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.9. So according to what they like, that's what they're saying. Just like, let's say, I'm having some difficulty, right? Let's say, digestion or health or something. So then I try this, I try that. And when I find something that works and I feel good, I mean, I eat this, I'm regular, I feel good, you know, and all that. And so at that point, then I will start to preach how this is how everybody should eat. You know, if I'm into raw, oh yeah, raw diet, all these other things, you know, plugs up the system, this, I'll give all the reasons why it's bad and how raw is so fabulous and everything. You know, and someone else, then they're only, you know, doing this, oh, intermittent fasting. So then they'll preach that. And then someone else will go to, oh, no, but all the natural health food things. So therefore, you know, all the quinoa, adi, and all that kind of stuff. So it'll just, whatever is good for you, you're going to then think this is good for the world. So that's what he's pointing out. So that's what's going on, is that they have a nature, conditioned nature, so they're into meditation, right? And so therefore they recommend that. Someone else is into austerities, they'll recommend that. Someone else is into Vedic study, they'll recommend that, you know? And so they're recommending that on its, it basically stands on its own. The other ones, you know, will be there how much it supports what they're doing. But you have to take it, no, that it has to be what pleases Krishna in his nature. Then what we can, then how we can express that to Krishna. And so we'll see what is favorable for pleasing Krishna. Just like, let's say I am into health food. So I'm going to look at what situations are favorable for health food. So if I find that, you know, going to friends' houses to eat or going and sitting with everybody else and eating, it gets in the way of that because they you know, expect me to eat what they're eating, or they harass me for what I'm eating. So I stop eating with them. So that's favorable for me. Right. But you have to see is what's favorable for Krishna consciousness. What's favorable for that? That has to be the point, you know? And so then one adjusts accordingly, just like we make ourselves the center and adjust everything around us for ourselves. We make Krishna the center and adjust everything around, you know, which includes us, to, you know, for Krishna. So we're not being asked to do something different. We're being asked to see in its natural, original state, not in just some state that came up because right now I'm in this consciousness, so I do this and someone else does that and like this. And so some may be compatible, some are, you know, like this, some are not. Does this make sense how this came about? Yeah?
Yeah.
So Jiva Goswami continues. They are bewildered by the Lord's Maya because their natures are rooted in Maya's gunas. They speak of variety, anekantam, of topics concerning the Purushartha and its sadhana, Shreyaha, right? So Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. So they're looking at what is the Artha they want, the Purushartha, and then what's the sadhana that you can get that. So it's always that they're looking for this and that. But the point is the secret's already been gone. As you see here, we're peeling back, the Jiva Goswami is peeling back all these different things and just revealing the gem of just pure bhakti. So now you can see this point Prabhupada's been making since day one. He's always spoken of this. And so all these secondary things that can be used, they're not actually the main thing. And of that, he also recommends, along with the acharyas, which ones, you know, work nicely. You don't have to worry about others. We're going to know what is that secret hidden thing that's not given. And taking these secondary and tertiary items as that's the secret, that's the real thing. When actually, no, the primary is pure bhakti. So this whole idea that, you know, we have to search for something else and it's not being given and, you know, the devotees are only, you know, talking part or they're not very mature and there's this more deep thing. No, this is all wrong. It's incorrect because it's not taking bhakti as the central feature. It's taking bhakti will appear because of my secondary or tertiary action. But no, it's because of the kind of bhakti I can engage the secondary and tertiary actions in Krishna's service. So it actually reverses. So the secret is this reversal, that it descends. That is coming from Krishna. It's revealed by Krishna. Prabhupada's mentioned this from the beginning. We're thinking, no, there's some mechanics there that can make it reveal. No, it's pure bhakti makes in the association of the pure devotee. That's what makes it reveal. Krishna revealed himself because it's becoming from him. Right? That was the point before. It's coming from his Sarup. Sarup Jnana, right? And Padam also means Sarup. You know, when you say Param Padam, technically that means the Supreme Sarup. you know, the place of that. So that's Braj. But if one only knows majesty, you know, in that formal sense, then one gets up to Mahanarayan. They call that place Paramparam. You know, because that's the place where his Surup is there, his bhakti is manifest as all his devotees and things like that. So that's the thing, is that it comes from Krishna. It spoke, arising from my Surup, Mad Atmaka, bhakti. It is a conclusion of all the scriptures. So Krishna is consistent. He may talk about these different aspects because people are working on that platform, but it's still, this is what's going on. Okay. However, it is said, continue with Jiva Goswami, Na sadhyati mam yogo na shankyam dharma udhava na svadhyayas tapas chago yata bhaktir mamorjita. O Uddhava, I am attained by unmixed bhakti. I cannot be controlled by mystic yoga, Shankya philosophy, Dharma, Vedic study, Jnana, or Sannyas. Right? These are secondary aspects. You can use them in the service of the Lord, but Krishna is not controlled by them. It's the bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? It means, like, let's say you're serving a very nice preparation, you know, some sweet rice or something like that. You have it in a bowl and you come to serve the sweet rice. You're attracted by the sweet rice, not by the bowl. It may be using that bowl, and you can use a fancy bowl or a little bowl or a small bowl and just serve it in a little bowl for individual people. The point is, the bowl is just there for assisting the sweet rice. Once you've eaten the sweet rice, you don't keep the bowl. As long as the sweet rice is there and you're eating it, you keep the bowl. As soon as you're done, you don't care about the bowl. So this point is that Krishna can't be controlled by any of these. So therefore this thing, no, but if you do this, it has to happen. So what Jaimini is saying is, you do your work, then you have to get the result. You control the Lord. No, you don't. He's made the rule that you perform your karma, you get the results of that. So you're following his law, not the other way around. But the thing is people do stuff because they puff themselves up. I am great. Yeah, I can do this. You know, it's like so many of the modern, self-help kind of things, you know, it's just trying to bring your ego so you're confident. Yeah, I can do this. I'm the best, you know, like that, you know, this is me. I can, you know, and so these kind of aspects that people go, if you're not inspired, you won't do anything. So you have to see the goal. You have to see that, you know, what's the method, and that I can do this. And then they do something. So that's why, depending on who it is, they emphasize in different ways. Some emphasize the, you know, just your own your own identity and that. And if you feel confident, then you'll go do something. Others, then they're confident, but they don't know what to do. So you show them what to do, or they don't know what the goal is, or there's so many goals they can't organize it. So you show them how to standardize that and which goals go with which action. So whatever you show. But the point is that, you know, that it's only through that action, you know, with an identity and action to get a result for a particular purpose that, you know, you're going to get to, that you can please the Lord. So therefore you, as servant of the Lord, performing, you know, in the mood of bhakti to please the Lord for his satisfaction, you perform an action that produces a result that is the medium for expressing that love. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Quote, just as bhakti is the means of attaining you, other processes like jnana and yoga should be means to attain you, since they have a little portion of bhakti's excellence. End quote. Right? So then there, you know, it's being pointed out, you know, that bhakti is the means. So these others, they have a little bit in them, but, you know, it's to take it the other way around. No, jnana has some bhakti in it, therefore, no, it's because it only works because there's bhakti. So therefore, without the jnana, you can just use the bhakti. End quote. Two verses answer. These processes are not means of attaining me. I am attained by strong urjita, bhakti, unmixed with karma or jnana. Oh, wow. Urjita. By strong urjita bhakti, unmixed with karma jnana. Sardhartha Darshini 11, 14, 20. Because Kartik month is also, you know, doing Kartik, you know, like that, committing for more devotees, called urja vrata. So that means strong vrata, fixed vrata. Na sadayati means does not control me. Tapa means jnana. Right, because you know, you're performing austerities, you're performing penance. That all goes along with jnana. It's all the package. Because you have everything is in karma and jnana, and so then they go together. So if he's already mentioned karma, then if he says tapa, then you know that means jnana. Not that some people don't do some austerities, like you see Hiranyakashipu, he's doing austerities to get a material benefit, not liberation. So it's not jnana in that case. It's just an aspect of karma. Tyaga means sannyas. Yeah, so it means following the sannyas means the order of sannyas, you know, or that renunciation or giving up the, you know, the nishkam karma, like this. Dharma satya dayopeto vidya na tapasanvita. Mad bhaktya petam atmanam na samyak prapunati hi. Neither dharma endowed with honesty and mercy, nor knowledge attained with great penance can completely purify one's consciousness if they are bereft of loving service to me. Right? So they can only purify because of having the connection with bhakti. But so now, so it'll have some effect because you're using some aspects of, you know, worshiping the Lord or doing these aspects as is recommended. But it's not, it's a temporary. You're not thinking of the, that's what I said before about the eternal form of the Lord. That's pure bhakti. Where the form of the Lord is temporary, even though you may have so much devotion, that's not pure bhakti. Because you're only seeing bhakti as an anga of karma or bhakti as an anga of jnana. So here is that, so they'll have some purificatory effect, but still only within the material. So the complete is only, they'll bring you to the transcendentalist only when pure bhakti is there. And being used along as mediums for the position of expression, then they can give some benefit. Otherwise, no. Yeah. The Dharma, so we take it, no, but we're, you know, we're performing Dharma, we're honest, we're merciful, or we have knowledge, or we have great austerity, that's why we're great devotees. No, it's because you have bhakti, that's why you're a great devotee. This just happens to be a way you're expressing it. The Dharma mentioned is nishkama. Vidya, right, so nishkama, so when it says Dharma, it doesn't mean that, you know, that the point that you're trying to, you know, get the fruit of results for yourself means you're performing those acts without attachment, you know, to the results. So in the beginning, you're maybe attached, but you give the results, and after time, then you're not attached. But it's still not enough, right? Vidya is Brahma Gyan based on scripture. Tapas is reviewing that knowledge. Right, so that you go over it again and again, that's tapas. You know, it means you're performing your duty, studying the scriptures, doing these things like that. Jai. By the characteristics of bhakti, those sadhanas are perfected. Right, so bhakti becomes perfected those things become perfected by being engaged in the service of bhakti. Otherwise, then they can't actually purify you very far. Then from Bhagavatam, to the degree that the Atma becomes purified by hearing and chanting my glories, a person is able to perceive my real form and qualities and experience their sweetness. Just as the eye, when smeared with special ointment, is able to see finer objects. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14:26. Yeah. So as you purify in hearing and chanting, that's where you're going to appreciate more and more the depth of things. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Starting with the first service, in proportion to the purification of the Atma by pure bhakti, and in proportion to the hearing, chanting, and remembering, one attains various degrees of realization of my sweetness. So from the first service, means when you first start something, or it means the first service in the day, when you're starting off and start your service, or it means when you first start service, to that degree that these things are going on nicely, to that degree you step by step make advancement, and then you appreciate the sweetness of the Lord. In proportion to hearing and chanting my glories, one sees the real nature, vastu, of my form and pastimes, with an experience of sweetness, sukshmam. Vastu sukshmam is dvandva, compound expressed in the singular number. Or it can mean subtle truth, with a modifier placed after the noun as poetic license. One eye is better than being blind. Better than that is having both eyes. Better than that is having eyes anointed with special ointment so that one sees finer objects. Right? Siddhartha Darshani 11, 14, 26. So blind, that's not, but it's something. They have some idea of that. There's some idea there's a God or there's some supreme. That's better. Right? But then better is then having both eyes that you see, yes, this is what's the proper. And then when we have this salve of bhakti, that then gives the actual finest understanding, the finest view. Yeah? How are we doing on time? Yeah, nice. Right. Yes? Good?
Yes, thank you, Mark.
Okay. So you're already in your chair, ready for the next
program. Yes, I'm back to my chair, because otherwise upstairs women make me crazy.
Aha. It happens. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.